Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. You have us until 6 tonight, and then we get things going again on the high school hardwood with all of our high school basketball matchups tonight. Going to be a heck of a lot of fun throughout the evening. Time for us to return to the hotline as we bring in Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, Andy. How you doing today, man?
Well, so far, so good. You and I were talking before we came on the air. It's always great to talk baseball and all things spring, and we're going to get the opportunity to do that here in just a moment. I know that, you know, coming up here in hopefully the next week, you'll have the MLB betting guide ready to rock and roll on bangthebook.com. But recently, you did an MLB betting preview on the East. And the AL East is expected to be extraordinarily competitive again. Of course, the Red Sox coming off the World Series title run. The Yankees, well, they didn't spend on the two big free agents in this year's market, but boy, did they bolster that bullpen. So it's the Yankees and Red Sox kind of expected again to dominate the division, though it feels like the Yankees did a little bit more on paper this offseason. So I guess we'll start right there. On paper in that division, who do you like more?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I like the New York Yankees, and quite frankly, as disappointing as this is for a lot of people around this area to hear, if I had to pick a team to win the World Series right now, it would be the New York Yankees. You know, Boston has the best offense in baseball, but from a weighted on base average standpoint, which is a sabermetric statistic that I really love to use, the Yankees had the second best offense in baseball last year. They've got the best bullpen this year. The only difference is they replaced David Robertson with Adam Ottavino. Maybe Aroldis Chapman is a little bit healthier here this year as well. Same thing for Zach Britton. But the big difference for New York this season is they pick up James Paxton, and they'll have a full season of Jay Happ, who they acquired last year in July at the trade deadline. Paxton's a big deal because the big weakness for New York last season was the starting rotation. That is no longer a weakness for them. Even though Paxton goes from a good pitcher's park in Seattle and really a good pitcher's division in the American League West with the ballparks that they visit to the American League East, to Yankee Stadium, yes, he's going to regress a little bit, but he's still going to be a strong front-of-the-rotation arm for this New York team. And, you know, Boston has bullpen concerns. I've got some rotation concerns as well. I think that the Yankees do overtake Boston for the division this year. And like I said, I think New York is my World Series pick right now.
Outside of those two in the American League East, from a handicapping perspective, who do you think has the best chance to surprise? I think the obvious answer certainly has to be the Tampa Bay Rays, right? I mean, is there any chance at all for Baltimore or Toronto to do anything in this division?
No, there's no chance at all for Baltimore or Toronto. I mean, Toronto is they're kind of an interesting team in the sense that they're trying to own what they are. They're a low average, low on base percentage, high slugging percentage team. But if you look over at FanGraphs at their depth charts projections, which is their projection system on an individual player level, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. makes up 25% of their projected wins above replacement player among the position player group this year, and he's not even going to start at the big league level because they're playing around with his service time and his contract control. So Toronto's up against it. Baltimore's horrible, as we all know. Tampa Bay is fascinating to me because Tampa Bay, and for those that haven't followed my baseball work at bangthebook.com, a lot of it is very sabermetric-based. It's very heavy in statistics and analytics. And Tampa Bay is doing the opposite of what everyone else in baseball is doing. They're trying to hit more ground balls while everyone else is hitting more fly balls, more home runs, focused on launch angle. So I'm a little bit worried about the sustainability of that for Tampa Bay because stringing together a lot of hits is very hard to do to create offense. But Tampa Bay's pitching staff is very good. The bullpen is very good. I think they could very well win the second wild card, but challenging the Red Sox and the Yankees just won't happen.
Yeah, sir, it seems like it's extraordinarily unlikely unless something really wild happens. Adam Burke, BangTheBook.com, Bang the Book Radio, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And we mentioned it earlier. This is all part of a series that you're doing on every single division in the bigs. And it's part of this MLB betting guide that you are releasing at some point next week. Give us an idea as to what this MLB betting guide entails.
Well, basically, my MLB betting guide is a season preview for all 30 teams based on their season win total odds. So I basically break down the team, break down the offense and the pitching, look at some of the other intangible things, not intangible things, but some of the things like defense, like strength of the organization, positioning for where the organization is, if they're going to be a buyer or a seller at the trade deadline, you know, where they are from a payroll standpoint, and if they're going to try and cut some of that. And then I give a win total over-under pick based on the lines that are out there for the number of wins that these teams are going to have. Also in the betting guide, I look at World Series futures odds, AL and NL pennant futures odds, division futures odds, also odds for the Cy Young in both leagues, the MVP in both leagues, the home run king overall. So it's basically an all-encompassing preview guide for the Major League Baseball season. And then this year I'm going to do something a little bit different and give some team-by-team betting tips for individual starting pitchers, you know, different park factor angles, stuff like that. So ton of Major League Baseball coverage coming here in March. But this betting guide will be available at bangthebook.com, both in PDF form and with the individual articles on the website with the team previews and stuff like that. And then also we're going to have it on Amazon as a Kindle ebook this year. So we're very excited about that.
Should be a lot of fun. I think we are all ready for baseball season to get here. Spring training games already kicking into high gear. And for Indians fans, we're hoping that hope springs eternal with this club. Certainly a lot to look forward to. And we'll come back around to some of that a little bit later on. The biggest news in the baseball world, obviously, over the last couple of days here is the signing of Bryce Harper by the Philadelphia Phillies. How much did the signing of Harper change the odds for the Phillies as far as both winning the National League East and winning the National League in general?
Yeah, I mean, this was a pretty significant move. I mean, when you look at the other big free agent, Manny Machado, goes to a San Diego team that didn't really have a whole lot of playoff prospects, didn't really have a chance to compete with a team like the Dodgers out there in the National League West. It's much different with Bryce Harper. The Phillies were a team, you know, even last year, they went 8-20 in the month of September, completely fell out of the playoff hunt. They were right there, though, for the first 5 months of the season. So a lot of people expecting them to take another step forward anyway. They were one of the big movers in the season win total market when numbers opened back in early January. And then yesterday, you know, they get Bryce Harper. They wind up going from a season win total line of 86.5 to 89.5, which is one of the highest in the National League. Their NL pennant futures, speaking from Caesars Palace Sportsbook out in Las Vegas, went from 7-1 to 5-1, and then they went from 14-1 to 10-1 to win the World Series. So they've become the favorite for the National League East. Personally, I still like the Washington Nationals, which is a discussion we can have another day. But Bryce Harper definitely had a significant impact on the betting market because when he's healthy, he's a top 15 hitter in Major League Baseball, and the Phillies could use a guy like that in the middle of their order to go along with a very much improved pitching staff from last year. They're an interesting team to be sure, and you know, Harper may have been the missing piece for them.
Well, I think it's fascinating also. You threw something out there on social media yesterday when a lot of this news broke. You had mentioned that, you know, you were getting ready to hear from people, hey, you know, this guy's going to make $330 million. He's a 250 hitter. He's got one season with 100 RBIs. And you quickly mentioned, look, we need to shut that down right away because those are people you kind of point and laugh at. I wanted to give you an opportunity here to kind of explain that, why you think it's absurd that people would point to just the average and just the RBIs and think this guy isn't worth the money that he was offered by the Phillies.
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm somebody who looks at baseball from a sabermetric standpoint. I'm very much in tune with the analytics. I use a lot of them in my handicapping and evaluation process. And when you're a hitter, your chief goal is to go up there and not make an out. And yes, Bryce Harper hit 249 last year, but he had a 393 on-base percentage. So he got on base over 39% of the time. And another thing about batting average, and this is something that people don't really realize, and something that people haven't realized in terms of Carlos Santana, for example, when you walk a lot, or when you're a guy who strikes out and walks a lot, as Harper does, over 43% of his plate appearances last year, ending with a strikeout or a walk, you hit in a lot of deep counts. A lot of guys that hit in deep counts don't have the best contact quality, won't have the highest batting averages, because they're always hitting with two strikes. So they're protecting the strike zone, maybe having to swing at a pitcher's pitch, something like that. The fact that Harper is still capable of posting a slugging percentage around 500 and a high on-base percentage in spite of that shows how talented of a hitter this guy is. And look, you know what? Balls in play are volatile. Sometimes you hit a missile at somebody and it gets caught. Sometimes you hit a 40-foot bleeder down the line and it's a base hit. there's a lot of variance when it comes to balls in play. There's no variance in drawing a walk. So Harper is a very, very good offensive player with a tremendous skill set. And because we have a lot of different ways to evaluate hitters now, batting average is not one of the best ways to do it.
And I want to stay on that for just a moment, because I think we're getting to the point now where batting averages, certainly at their core, aren't archaic. They certainly still do serve some sort of a role, and there's something to be said about a batting average. But using that as the baseline for your argument as to whether a guy can or can't hit, would you say that line of thinking has certainly become archaic?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, again, you know, you're talking about a landscape in Major League Baseball right now where things are just different. You know, a lot of times it used to be strikeouts were just something that was terrible. You know, strikeouts were something that nobody wanted to see. And it's come to a point now where strikeouts aren't that big of a deal. And in fact, last year we actually had more strikeouts than hits for the first time in Major League Baseball history. And that just sort of shows where the game has gone now, in that, you know, teams are preaching more patience, preaching walks. You know, it's a different kind of game. It's a different kind of atmosphere and a different kind of environment. And another thing, too, when you talk about batting average, again, like I said, it's kind of predicated on whether or not the ball gets fielded. And batters have no control over that once they swing, once they make contact. And what we're seeing nowadays in terms of increased usage of shifting, you know, especially in the outfield, which is something we never would have seen 15, 20 years ago, teams just have, they're aligning themselves differently against hitters, and it's taking away opportunities for these batters to get hits. You look at a guy like Santana, for example. I think he hit 123 on ground balls that he pulled to the right side as a left-handed hitter last year because of the shift. You know, and what can you do about that as Carlos Santana? People say, hey, go the other way. A, it's not that easy. And B, you want to drive the ball for extra base hits. So the game is just changing. It's a much different type of environment. And, you know, I'm just not somebody that worries about batting average. It doesn't really matter that much to me.
Well, no, and as you mentioned earlier, and I think you phrased this perfectly, look, your ideal objective is to find a way to get on base any way possible. And I think that a lot of the numbers you look at certainly dictate how good guys are, well beyond what their batting average might indicate that they are. So I think that's really fascinating the way you break that down. And again, we're looking forward to that next week. You could check out the betting guide, head out to bangthebook.com. I'm looking forward to downloading that and taking a look at it myself. Should be really, really good stuff. Adam, we'll change gears here for just a second before we close the interview out here, but I know that yesterday you had a chance to sit down on your podcast with Brad Powers to talk about the odds for the 2019 Heisman winner, which I think is fascinating that there are so many factors involved in determining the odds for that right now, even though we're a long ways off. Give us an idea as to some of the things that were discussed with Brad Powers in that interview about determining the Heisman winner, or at least determining the odds for next year's winner.
Yeah, Brad is a brilliant college football handicapping mind. He used to work for Phil Steele Publications, and you know, a guy that he's always looking for value out there. His college football season never stops. And earlier this week, the Westgate Superbook out in Las Vegas released Heisman Trophy odds, and Brad talked about this on his Twitter page and talked about it on Bang the Book Radio yesterday, that 8 of the last 10 winners have been 20-1 or higher in the preseason. So there are some sleeping giants here when it comes to the Heisman Trophy. Also, 16 of the last 19 have been quarterbacks. And then one other point that's very important, and this is kind of a common sense point, but hearing it quantified is still quite interesting. The average number of regular season wins for the last 19 Heisman winners is 10.9. So you've got three criteria here that you can look at. One is it's okay to look at long shots. Two is that you want to look at a quarterback, much like usually the Super Bowl MVP. That wasn't the case this year, obviously, but usually it's a quarterback. And also they have to play on a good team. So those are three very important things. And the good team thing really cancels out a lot of contenders for the Heisman, because it's hard to win it if your team wins 8 or 9 games. So that's why, even though somebody like Justin Fields is a transfer to Ohio State who really hasn't played a whole lot, Ohio State's going to be very good. He's going to have the chance to put up numbers. He's 6-1. And we haven't seen a whole lot from him at the collegiate level. Jalen Hurts transferring over to Oklahoma, he's also 6-1. Tua and Trevor Lawrence, the two favorites, obviously, the quarterbacks at Alabama and Clemson. But you know, it's one of those things where you want to look for a standout potential quarterback on a team that's going to play really well. And amazingly enough, there are some guys out there that are in the 20-40-1 range that, you know, are worth taking a shot on here, even though we're so far away from the season.
Very good stuff. Well, Adam, as always, man, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to dive into the MLB betting guide next week. And speaking of next week, that'll give us even more to discuss when we have you on next Friday. But as always, we appreciate the time.
Absolutely, Andy. Have a good weekend, man.
Thank you. You do the same. Again, Adam Burke with Bang the Book Radio, bangthebook.com as well, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to take a break. Matt and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.